Well, my name is Eric, and I am a dad. That is the third most important responsibility in this world, the first being to God, the second being to my wife, and as I said, the third being to my boys. However, I learned something in my short, 18 years now as dad, and this may be the most important thing I say this morning. When I keep my first two priorities in order and healthy, my relationship with my boys is also healthy. Now, I'm going to do something this morning that in my 20 years of being a pastor, probably, I don't know, maybe I've done it maybe twice, maybe, in counting today. I am going to talk to all the men here and all the men listening on the radio and all the men listening on as we stream this service who have influence over younger generations, which include men who will someday have children, men who presently have kids, men that have had kids and are now grown, as well as the men who chose to not have children of their own but influence children in other ways. I hope the rest of you still listen, however, since the Holy Spirit is at work, obviously, in today's worship. I trust that you'll be able to glean something from this message. Quite honestly, it probably on a Mother's Day might be able to be preached to mothers as well. But I am not ashamed to be talking to dads, because a child doesn't become what a father says. A child becomes what a father is. There is a reason why God created us male and female. Children need a good male role model and a good female role model. I've told you the story before, but I'll never forget when I became a dad. Yes, I became a biological father at some point in November, December of 1994. Paul was born August 27th of 95, and it was about 3 months later when he aspirated his formula and he stopped breathing for what seemed like an eternity. And that is when I began my journey of parenthood that evening. You understand what I mean, right? Experiences like that bring a passion to my voice and a tear to my eye when I talk about parenting as parentings, and today, as parents, and today as dads, some of the world's biggest victories, as well as the world's most painful defeats, come from the type of dads that are at home. Sounds like I'm putting a lot of weight on the shoulders of dads, and quite honestly, I am. But, you know, honestly, it's not me. God has since the very beginning. And I believe passionately that if we dads had been doing our job through the centuries, the world would be a better place today. I'm talking about dads all over the world. From the time a child is 18 months old, they begin to realize that they are an individual. They begin to form a basic value system based on a combination of their environment and their personality or their genetic makeup. By the time they are 5 to 8 years old, their basic values, the values that they base future personality forming decisions upon, are in place. Ladies, if you want to know why some of us, at least, are the way we are, look at our fathers. Look at the other male figures and influences that were in or are in our life. Dads, if you don't want your kids to be the way you are, it's very simple. Change. Change. Look in the mirror and make a conscious effort to be what you want your kids to be. Why? Why? Because our kids become who we are, not what we say. Parents, you have more influence over your children than anyone else does because of your influence over their environment at home. Those most formative years are formed in that environment of their home. And by the way, folks, it's never too late. It's never too late. I have three things today that I quickly would like to lift up to you. Dads, we need to be physically present, we need to be emotionally connected, and we need to be spiritually present. By physically present, what I mean is, for example, in John 15, 9 through 13, Jesus commands his disciples to love one another as I have loved you. So, men, how are we to love our children and those closest to us as Jesus loved us and loves us? First, we have to be physically present. Hundreds of years before Jesus came, the prophets said that God was going to send his son. 800 years before Jesus' birth, Isaiah said that one shall come among you, the Son of God, who will be born of a virgin, and you shall name him Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. In the Gospel of John, the Bible says that the Word became flesh and literally pitched tent among us. In the Gospel of John, it is very important. The Word, the creative power of God, took on human form. If you study the Gospels, you find that Jesus understood the relationship between physical health and wholeness and physical presence and appropriate touch. He made it a practice to be present and to touch the untouchables. He made it a point to stop and touch and heal those persons that the rest of society either ignored or stayed away from. And there are three types of physical presence, to be honest with you. There are three levels that our children need: physical commitment, accessibility, and physical engagement. So if you think about it, physical commitment, as a man, you have to take responsibility for the physical support and welfare of your children. If your kids, we learn this in school. Anyone who is a school teacher understands this. If the kids are hungry, do they learn very good? No, they don't learn very good. That's why the school offers free breakfasts, right? So and free lunches to many, right? Because if kids are hungry, if their needs aren't met in that way, there's no way that they can learn effectively. So we have to make sure that our kids' needs are met. The second is accessibility. And it's especially important when your children get older. And the way I'll talk about this is, as you know, I'm in a barbershop quartet. And there are many times when I am away, right? And I always have my cell phone on me. They know that if they call me, it doesn't matter if it's right before I walk on stage to sing that night. They can call me and they will be my first priority. I don't care if the audience has to wait, right? And that is a big deal, just knowing that my kids at least, have not taken advantage of that fact, but just knowing that makes a difference in who they are and how they understand their dad. And then the physical engagement, take time out of your schedule, make surprise visits. There are times that I go up and eat lunch, take the boys McDonald's or something, right? Just so their friends will be mad at them. No, stuff like that. Just take time to be with them. Emotionally connected is the next one. And so we've talked about physical presence. Now we're needing to move to emotional connectedness. John 15:15, Jesus says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." We have got to be emotionally present and honest with our kids. How often are we physically present in our home and yet we are emotionally unavailable? If we are physically present but not emotionally available, we are treating those around us like they are our servants. We have to be emotionally honest. Emotional honesty. Now, I have to be honest with you. I sometimes have a hard time with this one. If I were taking a test, I would probably not do well here. As a pastor, there are times when we are out as a family and I am physically present. I'm filling a seat, right? But I am emotionally disconnected because I am thinking or dreaming or worrying about what someone said, or about First Church, what we're going to do. Pray for me. I need work here, and I fully admit it. Kids can smell this fake presence fast. They realize that they are not and maybe are never your priority. And it hurts them deeply. Finally, to be spiritually present. So we have to be physically present. We need to be emotionally connected. And finally, we also need to be spiritually present. This is where today's scripture come in. Men, listen to this again. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. That right there is a mouthful, isn't it? But then he goes on. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are away. When you lie down and when you rise, bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. God is saying that we have to live, speak, eat, and breathe God's words. Remember, our kids become who we are, not what we say. I'm not implying that, guys, we have to be some monk here, right? Have to be perfect in our spiritual lives. And I know that I'm reading the Old Testament here, but it's the easiest way to describe these verses. The easiest way to describe these verses is simply to say that we need to work. We need to do our best to be like Jesus, to show this overwhelming love for humanity, to respect our kids, to not be afraid to discipline them as our God-given responsibility, to not be afraid to love and to laugh, hug and play with our kids. But we also need to speak of God and His expectations in our everyday conversations, to talk of Jesus' love and grace in our everyday conversations, to not be afraid to talk about the most important thing in their life. It is not the baseball game today with David. It is his eternal home. That is the most important thing you can ever talk about with your children. Their relationship with Jesus Christ. Make it be your everyday language. We need to demonstrate, we need to emulate the love of God to our kids. Just like elementary kids are excited for show and tell day. Anybody remember that? Yeah? We need to be God's show and tell every day in the life of our children, men. So dads, what are the three ways that we can love our kids? You remember? We need to be physically present. We need to have an emotional connection. And finally, we need to be spiritually present. This will help us leave a wonderful legacy. I would like all of the guys, from kids to adult, to say this closing prayer with me. Will you do that? So ladies, you can just close your eyes and enjoy the prayer. And guys, would you please say this prayer with me? Holy God, the one Jesus called Father, hear my heart toward you today. This is my prayer of promise. You have said it is not good for me to be alone. You have placed people in my life, in my home. You have given me the ability to touch their lives in significant ways. Forgive my personal agenda. Lord, I want to be a safe and healthy space for others. You have made me complex, feelings, thoughts, and emotions I cannot always explain or understand. Keep me honest, Lord, and allow that my heart would stay open and pure before you and others. Give me grace to express my anger wisely and freedom to share my love openly. I want to be a safe place emotionally for others. Father, you have created me for a relationship with you. Forgive me for pushing you away daily in many ways. Forgive me for my self-interest, my tendency to live this life apart from you. I want to be the man you've meant me to be all along and to demonstrate your life and love to others. Allow me to be a safe space spiritually for others to experience your love and freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.